Thank you, praise team. Appreciate that greatly. If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open to Psalm 62 today. Psalm 62. I'm not sure where each of you are at today, and so let me just start off this message by saying this. I hope that you have hope today as you leave. Here's my opinion. My opinion is that if I got to each one of you, there would be something somewhere in your life that you would just say is hopeless. You have been through this a number of years. Hope it's not a spouse that you think is hopeless. There are some times when you think, well, I'm just never going to train this guy right. What is his problem? Oh, man. Manel feels that all the time. So, just so you know, that's her hopeless area today. Maybe. No, I don't think that's it exactly, but hopefully not. Anyway, we better get away from that for a moment. But I think everybody here probably has a situation, an individual, a circumstance, something in your life that you think is hopeless. And I just want you to leave this morning knowing that it's in God that we hope, and from Him can come great blessings. And so the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be talking about where is our hope is today. Next week is going to be about hope in Jesus. And then on Easter Sunday, which is just a couple of weeks away now, is going to be hope in the resurrection. Now, the reason why I'm going there, I'll give you a little teaser for Easter, is just think of the disciples. Think of the ladies who came to the tomb on that day, and in our world, we're thinking, yeah, the stone was rolled away. It's a wonderful day. Praise God. And they went saying, what happened here? Where is Jesus? And all there were his linens folded up. And so the hope of the resurrection and what that provides for us. Hope is a needed commodity. There are some of you in this room that just hope the best and hope for everything. And you're like, it's gonna work out. This is a great day. How wonderful. And that's probably about 20 of you. Because the rest in the room wake up and you don't have that hope. And I wonder if the Holy Spirit is even pointing out that area to you this morning, that you just feel hopeless. I hope that you leave with great hope in God for that situation. It's frustrating to be hopeless. It's frustrating to be hopeless. We hope for many a things. Let me give you some things that maybe we hope for. We maybe hope for a deliverance from an illness. Maybe you hope for a friend or a family member's illness, for them to be rid of that. Maybe you hope for a vacation that is coming. Maybe you're hoping for a restoration of a relationship. Maybe you're hoping in a new job. Maybe you're hoping for this week to be outstanding when you're thinking about, wow, do you know what's happening this week? Maybe you're hoping for some money. Maybe you're hoping for something for a family member. Maybe you're hoping for a spiritual breakthrough. Maybe you're hoping for the United States of America. I don't know what you're hoping for, but I think we all hope for something. I encourage you to do this. Let's say on a scale of 1 being low and 10 being high, of that whatever circumstance, where would you put yourself in that? If you're at a 1, be honest, write it down. I'm at a 1. I have no hope in whatever. Or maybe you're at a 7, or maybe you're at a 10. If you're a 10, well, let's figure out what it is and say, I want hope in this area. But I want you to have hope in God for this area, not just a hope in this area. What causes us to lose hope? Let me share with you. I think it's a prolonged suffering or a challenge to that situation that you're thinking about that you just see no hope in. It's never going to change. But you don't understand, Pastor Steve. And it's not going to change. But what if? What if it does? What if through your prayers of time and effort and years, all of a sudden something breaks through? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be incredible? And wouldn't you give praise to God for that? May I suggest to you today that if we have our hope focused in the best way, then we can have true hope, and that true hope is in God. And so I hope that you have hope in God today. I want to read from the psalmist today, Psalm 62. I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's on the Bible, on the rack in front of you, on page 479. I believe it'll be on the screen behind me. Maybe you brought your own gadget or your own scriptures. And if you brought your own Bible with you today, thanks for doing that. I'm okay with you underlining. I don't know if you like to underline. Some people, that's a stretch for them. But maybe there's something that will just jump out at you today. Maybe if you have a gadget and you have a little highlighter or some which way, maybe it'll just jump out at you today as we read God's word. Here's what it says. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Selah. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. That power belongs to God. And that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. Our hope is from God. Now, to me, this seems elementary. And I think we all should know this. But maybe for you this morning, maybe you're like, I don't know Christ. I don't know the Lord. Your hope can't be from God if you don't have a relationship with God. And so that's the very beginning. As I'm thinking around this room, as I'm looking around this room, I think many of you have a relationship with the Lord. And it seems pretty elementary. Yeah, I got it. Our hope is in God. Then why at times, even this last week, did we lose hope? If we believe that God is the God of hope, which I believe that he is, why do we lose hope? There's a crucial word here, I think, in verse 1. Here's what it says. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Now, you may say this isn't a big crucial thing, but I think it is. There's something about, and I believe we can have hope in God. I hope that you have hope in God. That means that you believe that he can do whatever. He is God. However, I love what it says that we have hope from God. I think that from changes it. I think it makes it a little more personal. I think instead of having hope in God, oh yeah, we have hope in God, we actually are receiving something from him. We are receiving that hope. And so maybe today you just need to receive that hope from God because it's from him. Not from anybody else, but it's from him. I know that maybe there are some that are around you, maybe not in this service, but they just don't believe that God exists. So how can they have hope in him or from him? I also know that some of you, that there's an issue, a circumstance, a frustration that's not met up to your expectation by God. Thus, you have lost hope and you've just given up. Would you be willing to refocus and say, okay, God, would you even be willing to do this? In that area where you've lost hope, would you be willing to say, I repent of that, Lord. I'm sorry that I have lost hope in that. I have given up. And God, you haven't. And in so doing, I believe God will bring something upon you that will just help you to hope, to have rest in the fact that he is God. Would you be willing to put your trust in God for whatever you fill in the blank? Maybe your hope is in money. Money's a great thing, isn't it? Helps us to buy, helps us to purchase. Money also can be a trap. But if you look in verse 10, and I think this is more talking about robbery, but I think there's a biblical standpoint here. Put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. Don't rob. If you're stealing, stop. How is God going to help you, and how can you put your hope in God when you're taking from someone else? But it also says if riches increase, set not your heart on them. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Don't put your hope in riches, because they can fade away. Second thing I want you to see here is this. Sometimes we wait in silence. Some of you find this hard to believe, but as a child, I was pretty active. And so I also in my activity, for whatever reason, my parents believed in spanking. And I really don't remember any of those spankings, but I understand that I got spanked quite a bit as a child. Why? I don't know. I mean, might have been that I had two older sisters and I was a boy and they didn't know how to handle boys. I don't know. And if I asked them today why they spanked me so much, they probably wouldn't tell me. But if my mom really wanted to bother me and to discipline me, she would not give me a spanking. Do you know what she'd do? She'd send me to the quiet chair, where she would say, for 5 minutes, you just have to sit there and be quiet. Now, again, I don't remember this, and I'm glad I don't, because I'd probably had nightmares about it now. But I guess what I would do would be like, no, not the quiet chair, because I knew I had to sit there and I had to be quiet for 5 minutes. Some of you in this room have no struggles with that. You can be quiet for a lot longer than 5 minutes. Some of you have struggles with that, and you have troubles with being quiet and silent for 5 minutes. I don't think I'm necessarily that way now, but maybe that's how we are. We've lost hope in God because we don't like to wait in silence. We struggle to wait in silence. Amen. Dwayne struggles to wait in silence. Not necessarily. I'm supposed to be talking right now. We struggle to wait in silence. Maybe that's the issue for you, is that God is just silent. A November 8, 2017 New York Post article states that the average American checks their phone. I like to call a phone a little mini computer, is like what I like to call it, because you can do so much more than call on it nowadays. But the average American checks their phone 80 times a day. That means that the average American is checking it every 12 minutes. That means that if you are average, some of you are above average, some of you are below average, but let's just say if you're average, during a typical church service, you've checked your phone 5 times. Oh, wait, what's going on? I felt that buzz. Oh, it's starting to ring. According to the article, many Americans struggle to go 10 minutes without checking their smartphone. 1 in 10 check their phone once every 4 minutes. Let me just pick on this side. There's about 40 of you here. So 4 of you, every 4 minutes, check your smartphone. Some of you are like, why would I ever do that? I understand that. But some of you, huh? 31% feel regular anxiety when separated from their phone. A third of people feel anxiety when they're separated from their cell phone. Wonder where that went. And 60% reported experiencing stress when their phone is off or out of reach. 6 out of 10. I'm not against smartphones. I have one. What I am saying is this. Because where many of us put ourselves and our habits, we have an extremely hard time waiting on God. And then we lose hope. Oh, maybe that's God. Maybe he's calling me now. And maybe that's the exact trap of the enemy in your life. The loss of hope for whatever, because God has just been silent. The psalmist says this, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence." Maybe God has been trying to help us in our hope, but we have been too distracted and not in enough silence. There's a quote by Claire Booth Luce. Here's what it says. "There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them." Is there an area of your life where there just seems to be silent from God on? Maybe you've had an area of your life that he has been silent about for a number of years. Wait. Wait for him. And then maybe ask this question for you. Where do you go for silence and solitude? Where do you go to wait on the Lord? Where do you go just to spend time with the Lord and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears"? If you hope in a bunch of other things, you're missing the whole point of the message. The message is, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence." The third thing I want you to see is, God is my rock and my salvation. It's mentioned in verse 2. It's mentioned in verse 6. What does this fact that God is a rock mean to you? It's not talking about some pebble. It's not talking about a stone. It's not even talking about river rock. It's not even talking about maybe you have a decorative rock in your yard that's big. No, we're not even talking about Mount Rushmore. I mean, that's a big rock. We're talking about this huge rock that is not moving. God is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. God is my salvation. What does that mean to you? He has saved each of us from the pit of hell. God is your rock and your salvation. And then verse 8 says this, "Trust in him at all times." Trust in God at all times. How do we do this? It tells us, it says, pour out your heart before him. That's what it says in verse 8. Trust him at all times, O people. And then it just gives us clear instruction. Pour out your heart before him. You could even say this, and I think it's okay. God, I'm hopeless in this situation. Would you provide hope for me? In Job 17, verse 15, it says, "Where then is my hope? Who will see my hope?" In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." during the 30 Years' War in 17th century, there was a German pastor, and his name was Paul Gerhardt, and his family was forced to leave from their home. And one night, as they stayed in a small village inn, they were homeless and afraid. As I thought of that, I thought about, what if I was with my family and we had to leave our home and being homeless and afraid? That, wow, that's, I don't even understand that. Paul's wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of scripture promises about God's provision and keeping. Then going out to the garden alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt he had come to his darkest hour. Soon afterward, Gerhardt felt the burden lifted and he sensed anew the Lord's presence. And so he took his pen and he wrote a hymn. And let me share it with you today. Here's what it says. I believe it's on the screen behind me. Give to the winds thy fears. Hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. It's often in the darkest times that God makes his presence known most clearly. Sometimes he chooses to use sufferings and our troubles to show us clearly that he is our source of strength. Are you facing a great trial? Are you facing something you feel is hopeless? Take heart. Put yourself in God's hand, because that's the only place you can put yourself, and wait on his timing. Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 11, Psalm 43, verse 5. It's interesting how in those two psalms, it says this: why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I want to hearken you to go over to Romans chapter 5, if you would, for just a moment. Romans chapter 5 gives us a great understanding of this hope. In chapter 5, verse 1, here's what it says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that's the starting point, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Have you done that in recent days? Have you rejoiced in the hope of glory of God? Have you said, this is just great. Man, I'm going to rejoice in this. This is the hope and the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Praise God for sufferings. But then hear this. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, some might say there is a progression there, that we have to go through endurance, or we have to go through suffering to endurance, to character, to hope. And that may be. I don't know. I do know this. Hope does not put us to shame. We hope in the glory of God. It is only when we get to hope that we are able to identify with Jesus. I'd like to be there. I'd like to be there, and I don't think I'm there yet. I don't have hope in everything. And I think what we need to do is to have a hope in God for everything. Let me explain here a little further. We hope for good health in our child when we need hope in God to watch over our child. We want the next job when we need hope that God provides what is ever best with the job that is before us. We hope for salvation when we should hope for God's power to be displayed through salvation for many of us. I liken to say this. I think we should take everything through the God tunnel of hope, and then we sit back and let God work. How many times we feel like, man, I got to work, and we do need to do that. But we also need to trust in Almighty God. So here is my recommendation for you. Run everything that you have. Run your marriage, run your health, run your children, run your job, run your parents, your future, your church, your finances, your sports, everything through this God hope tunnel, and then receive hope from Him. When you start being discouraged about whatever it is, say, God, what am I missing here? I want hope in you for this situation. Instead of just hoping for the best, hope in God, and that He will pour that hope through you. And then we'll get it from Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it gives us some instructions, and it gives us instructions about widows. And here is what Paul says about a certain set of widows. Here's what he says. She has set her hope on God. She has set her hope on God. Now, if you're a widow in the room, then you should do that. That's who you are. Actually, I think that can be for any of us, can it? I mean, I don't think I just said, well, sorry, you're not a widow. Don't set your hope on God. Sorry, can't do that. No, we all can set our hope on God. And so I encourage you today, set your hope on God. Maybe you've found yourself giving up hope. Let me point out a couple of areas. Maybe you've found yourself giving up hope in your marriage. Maybe you've given up hope in your job. Maybe you've given up hope with a child. Maybe you've given up hope in whatever area. Maybe you're missing out what God has in store for you. We focus on the temporal, and we need to put our focus on God. And when we hope in God, His glory rests upon us. So if you came this morning finding yourself in a hopeless situation, praise God, because He is here and He's going to say, I will provide for you hope. I am a God of hope. I can give you hope. Let me read from the Psalmist, chapter 33. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hope is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. I want to pray for you today. Would you stand with me? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes today? Maybe for you, you just need to come to the altar. There is a situation that has just been overwhelming, and you've just lost hope. Or your hope has been misguided, and you just need to come and just say, God, I need hope. I want to pray for each of you today. O gracious God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise your holy name because you are the God of hope. It's what your word says. I pray, God, that every person in here, whatever circumstance and situation they find themselves in, would put their hope in you. Lord, it could be a marriage, it could be a job, it could be a family member, it could be a situation, it could be a class in school, it could be some financial challenges. Oh God, please forgive us for the times when we lower our hope and we focus on the temporal and not on you. For you alone comes our hope. For you alone comes our salvation. And so, oh God, would you help us to be restored in hope with you? Lord Jesus, there's a couple of individuals in this room who have been waiting in silence. And I pray that even right now they would just know, that you are the God of hope and that you will see them through. God, I believe there's an individual or two that has lost trust. And I pray, God, that they would trust in you in that area. Lord Jesus, I ask, would you hear this prayer for each person here this morning? Would you help them to leave from this building just knowing that you're working and that their hope is in you? Go before them. Give them your encouragement, your strength. And God, may we leave from this sanctuary today being filled with your hope, because you are the one that provides that hope for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May you be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. And may you bless us as we go from this place. And we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.